Pleasure to present our very own Reverend Connie Beth Grotti.
Good morning. That song is just a beautiful song. It's my favorite rendition. He's a wonderful singer. If it doesn't get to the very core of you, I don't know what will. Anyway, we had last Sunday an Enneagram workshop. And in thinking about that this morning, I was thinking, you know, it's different personalities. It's just different perspectives of looking at different things. And I was thinking about meditation. And when people first start coming to classes or first get interested in something, sometimes they'll say, oh, I can't meditate. My mind is not still. And it's learning that to work with the wiring and to where you are within yourself as to how to get to the place where you can meditate. Most people, when we first come to a metaphysical church of any kind, we have a restless mind. I have a restless mind anyway. I'm probably a number seven. You think any of you that's been in the Enneagram workshop, we think about this, we go from one subject to another, to another, to another. In our lives, we go driving here to one group, to another group, just anything to keep busy, anything to keep from listening or even wanting to know who we are on the inside. We run and run and run till we can't run anymore. And usually then, because we've been running so much, and when you do run, and if you're running from problems, anything you run from begins to snowball, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger. And we don't know how to look at it, and we don't want to look at it, and oh, gosh, our egos tell us we should have been able to take care of this. What's the matter with us? We must not be too smart, or we wouldn't have this problem. From the highs to the lows to the runnings. So after we do all this, normally, if you're like most people on a path of self-discovery, you will have a crying out moment. And you will say, dear God or anybody else, please help me. I don't know what to do next. Well, in this law of metaphysics, under the guise of spiritualism, because that's where I first learned about it, was spiritualism in the good old seance room where Evening Star could verbally come out and speak to us. She would say, you can't control your mind because you don't know how. It's running here, there, and yonder. When our minds do that, we haven't the slightest idea who we are because we're afraid, because we've already been told how bad we are or how lowly we are. We don't want to look because we probably think we might be. But when you start to meditate, you start to think in a more productive way, instead of allowing your mind to go willy-nilly, it's something called replacement therapy. You really can only think of one thing at a time. And so, if something is haunting you, why not stop just a little bit and think of a beautiful rose and think of the colors, perhaps, that roses come in and select one for yourself and look how the petals are designed. Smell the fragrance. See the green leaves. Does it have thorns? Does it not have thorns? I'm told if they don't have thorns, many times they don't have a smell either. So maybe you'd like to have a few thorns so you can have the fragrance. When you start thinking of something like that, your whole essence begins to change. And your mind is concentrated on that rather than all of these things out there. In this path of self-discovery, we were born all alone, really. We had a family, but we decided to come to this earth plane. It was a decision made on the other side. It was something we wanted to do for some reason, known only to us. And then we made the journey. But do you realize that our whole entire lifetime, even when we go back, everything really is all alone? Everything we do and have our being is in this silent thinking, really. We speak to friends and we have a great time. But all the time, who are you with? We're not really, our life is not really, truly about anybody but ourselves and how we react to everything outside and around us. But to begin to discover who we are, we have to learn to control our thinking, learn to control our mind, so we can begin to see the beauty, and beauty in meditation, and beauty of being silent. When we can pump in that beauty of being silent by mind control, then you might start concentrating on your heart chakra, that heart center, because right there is the seat of love. That's where our divine essence is. After class, there was a group of us talking, and I love to talk after class sometimes. Sometimes we have another class. And this person said, "Oh, you know, I really would rather be humble when it comes to loving myself. I don't have to brag. I don't want to brag on myself." I said, "You're not supposed to brag on yourself, ever. That's the ego speaking. When you have to go, here, teacher, me first, I've got it. Well, we understand you've got it. That ego has it. Yes, wants you to be first. Or it's the opposite. Oh, I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. I can't do it. I never have an answer. Either way, you've missed the whole point. The whole point of loving yourself, the whole point of beauty, is that you've been still enough that you can become aware of the spiritual self that's living inside this human body, so that you can be still long enough to realize that we have a conscious mind, a subconscious mind, a lower mind, but what's great is we have a God mind. And there's only one way to get to that God mind, and that's to let all this nonsense go. When you can begin to learn to love yourself, it comes from the confidence of feeling the vibration of that God essence within you that is beginning to change the world all around and about you now, because what's on the inside vibrates on the outside, to the point where you understand, I begin to feel something I've never felt before. And it feels good. And it makes me smile. And it makes me want to say, have a blessed day to everyone around you. It's something you are more. It's not a selfish love. It's a giving love. You want to communicate and give to those around you. And when you begin to do that, you can never outgive God, because it comes roaring back. And that's when you begin to make a difference. So many people think that love means, oh, I can do that. I'm brilliant. Oh, I can play the piano better than anybody else. Yeah, but can you do it with love? Haven't you seen those people who can just sit down and play and take you to a different plane of existence because they have found that spirit within that communicates with that instrument, that love that they have for that music, and the vibration goes out there and will bless each and every one of us. That's what self-love is all about. That's what the master teacher was talking about when he would say, love your neighbor as yourself, but more importantly, when he would always say, but it's not me. It's not my ego. It's that essence within that I've found that you have and you have and everybody has. And it's the same law for everyone. And this is what I would like to give to the world. But at the time that he was here, people didn't understand his message. And so they think that loving yourself as your neighbor is being all puffed up. That's not what it's all about. If you're all puffed up, it's you trying to do everything. And guess what? You can't do a very good job of it. Because we're all the same. We hit a brick wall. And when we hit that brick wall, it's like, remember the journey. Remember, it could be easier. But you've got to give up. You've got to give up the fight. You've got to give up the restlessness and realize the beauty is you. It's that you that none of us see, really, because the you that's living inside of this body, the you that has come here to guide this personality into knowing that there's something gorgeous. It's so simple. But our ego never wants to let go for us to discover it. It's so beautiful. There was a gentleman that used to come to class with us in Muncie, Indiana. And he was a great guy. We all loved him. And he would run, and he would run, and he would run, and he would run. He never wanted to give up anything too much for class. But he really wasn't running from class. He was there every time. He even drove 80 miles to get there every single week. But he didn't want to look within himself. He didn't want to give up anything. He felt like he had to give up something if he was going to discover himself. And even though he was a remarkable healer, this is a strange thing. He was a remarkable healer for everyone else but himself. Isn't it strange? We want to look at ourselves last for some reason. And unfortunately, he made the transition. Because he couldn't tap into his own greatness to know that that essence within could help his own condition, because he couldn't give up 2 and 3 and 4 liters of Papaday. What do you call it here? Soda. He couldn't give up to find out the beauty of who he was. Now we can judge and say, oh, well, that's terrible. But you know what? None of us know why we came to this earth plane. So I'm going to get on judgment now. As we grow, we can't have judgment. Because some of us come to discover something as little as maybe in some lifetime. For instance, if I didn't understand this gentleman, I could say, well, I just don't understand that. just don't understand that at all. And maybe on my return trip, because I couldn't understand it, maybe I had a little bit of judgment instead of love coming from my heart. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. Maybe then I would decide to come back and experience exactly what he did so I could have an understanding. You see, we all have our ups and downs. We all have different ways of growing and expressing. But I can tell you, this gentleman had something mighty magnificent within him, even though he couldn't find it for himself. And I think you know who I'm talking about. Is that true? It's true. So if you're one of those people, you feel, because we all have run. I've run. I cried out. I've told it before. I had already given up on God. That's why I said, or anybody else that can hear me, I'll take anybody out there. Because I wasn't doing too good myself. But you know what? When you can do that and realize we're all the same, we just have different ways of getting there. It's like little mazes. We have our own maze of life. And we have different crooks and turns at different times that kind of guide us through. And we have choices to make. We always have free will. But if you can stop running, it makes the maze so much clearer. And when you can realize there's something greater within us that guides us when we just let go and begin to see the beauty. And if you can't see the beauty, start creating it with your imagination. I think maybe it was the late 80s or the beginning of the 90s, there used to be an expression, fake it till you make it. You remember that? Well, fake it through imagination, because that's the tool that will allow you to make it. God bless you.
Thank you.